بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. Amongst the beautiful attributes and names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ya Ali. Or we say Al-Ali, the most high. From there we have in Sajda Subhana Rabbiyal A'la. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. So أعلى comes from Ali, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most high. How high is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How lofty, how exalted? As Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala says, matter how high you can think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is still beyond that. Allah is still beyond that. This name is derived from the word ulu, which means something high or lofty. Al-Ali is that being which with the highest rank. None other is higher than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all others are inferior to him. Therefore, if we get this ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most high, the most exalted, there's no comparison to the loftiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then nothing of dunya will impress us. Because everything is makhluq, this is the khaliq. No degree, no education, nothing of dunya. Like we find the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether we put them in a simple room, put them in a very fancy room, for them is the same. Because the hearts are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more simple, then they feel more closer to Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. That al-badadatu min al-iman, simplicity is from iman. So the hearts are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this connection is that Allah is most high. Nothing else impresses them. When they see everything around them, they only see the qudrat and the power, the loftiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who due to His power is exalted. First point. Allah, because He is all powerful. Person has power in this world also. You see how people give Him that shan, and that man, and that fame, and the name, and the respect. Because He has power. He has a very strong military, army. So then they rank Him with this number in the world. Accordingly, people now respect that country or that prime minister or that president. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is that being who due to His power is exalted and elevated over His creation. وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. As we say, this dunya, our value system now has changed. What is the value system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That is a complete value system. Every sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam is the most valuable asset in the world. Nothing more valuable than this. But because now of influence, whether Western influence, secular influence, now we've attached value to many other things which has no value. And ask people around us also. Allah Ta'ala has put value to gold and silver, in some put it to diamonds and pearls. But in reality, there's no value to it. Allah has put value to gold and silver, there's a real value. But here also now, they've changed our mindset. They've changed the mindset. So in everything in dunya also, they change the mindset. What value system is always changing. When it comes to the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, there's a complete value system. Because we don't understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the most high. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is the most valuable thing in the universe. If we understand this, and everything else becomes inferior. Because we don't understand this, so we don't know how to give importance to what is the most valuable thing. Al-ahammu fal-aham. What is most important, that we give due importance to it, due value to it, time to it. Because now we've been influenced from everything else, so the value systems have changed. If the wife knows the value of the husband, he knows the value of the wife. If the wife knows the value of the mother-in-law, that the pleasure and the jannat of my husband is in obedience to his parents, and my jannat is in obedience to my husband. There's a value system. Their value system has left the ummah now. Now it's my rights, my time. It's about me and my and feminism and liberation, women's lib. The men also now. So the entire value system has changed. Now, to put that back into place to a certain extent, damage control, now they've given us some other value system to complement or to supplement or to do the damage control. Now to get this right, you need a psychiatrist, you need a psychologist, and you need medication. And then you got a whole now industry behind that. And we say this. So the entire, there's no value to it. It's changing all the time. Where's the value of Salah? The value of Quran Sharif? The value of A'mal? The value of Sunnah? And every single one of the Sunnahs and commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolute power, exaltedness, loftiness, because these are connected to Al-Ali. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was most high. So all the A'mal are connected to Allah. Even in depression, are connected to the A'mal are connected to Ya Ali. Al-Ali, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So because you connect to the A'mal came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will pull you out. Allah will pull you out. When it comes to the value system of dunya, then we give you antidepressant to make you more depressed. And you can see the person how he's looking depressed. Say, I'm on medication. For what? To feel happy, he says, I'm feeling worse. What I'm feeling? Worse is making me more, making me sleepy, making me tired. Is that making me happy? So the entire value system of dunya which they have given us now is attached to the ground and the earth, to the sand and to dunya. And we know when it comes to dunya, there's no value to it. There's no value unless the dunya is attached to the deen of Allah. So Hakim Sahib Rahimullah explained also that one is the brick that is now in the toilet, one of the hotels around the Haram of Makkatul Mukarramah. He says now the Haram extended, so that hotel now was demolished, possibly they use the bricks again. The brick was prepared now to be demolished. And now that area became part of the Haram. At one time now, before you entered that toilet where the brick was, you would read, Bismillah, Allahumma inni a'uzu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. You're seeking refuge from the shaitan and jinnat, you're entering there. And now the brick gave up its connection now, and is no value of being a toilet, and gave it to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, being part of the Haram. Now you enter with the right leg, no more the left leg. Now you say, Allahumma aftah li abwaab rahmatik. Value has changed. Just one brick will be attached to the Haram. The value has changed. As long as it was in the toilet, the Hazrat says also, you had to sit over there. And now, what level of depression you're sitting over there also. And Hazrat will say also, the toilet now is such a jail from which there's no bail. It can be the biggest wali of Allah. Hazrat says, instead of sitting there, make faces and make noises. There's no way out. Allah shows you a reality. This is where you belong. And this is what your reality is. Whatever you take in the boundaries of Allah, this is how you release it. To make you understand that no matter how high you may think you are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still much higher than that. Connect to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Allah has a complete value system. All entire success, values, everything is attached to deen, no matter how simple it might look like. Even the little miswak also. Now you attach so much of value, electric, rechargeable, this type of toothbrush, that type of toothbrush, we have to use that type over there. But in the eyes of Allah, it has no value. But pick up the miswak, Allahu Akbar. What value that the salah you performed, Zuhar salah you performed, you used miswak before that, times 70, the reward is times 70. Hazrat Wala says, like you read to read Zuhar 70 times, Allah give you the reward. At Isha salah, 70 times you read it. Just using miswak, look at the value. But because now our values have changed, so we don't give value to that. The mother will ask, you brushed up. You sure I didn't see you use the toothpaste? But she won't say, that is the miswak. Miswak is still dry. How come you didn't use the miswak? That's the value system. That's the value system of success. Now you attach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever illnesses a person may have internally, externally, to the barakat of miswak, all that will come out. Ulama have written bayans on this. Among the last, you can say, sunnahs, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, before he passed away also, he made ishara, indicated to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, give me a miswak. She took a miswak and she put it in, she made it soft and put it in the mouth of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Among the last things he used before his demise. Now how valuable is a miswak? But I know the value of my cell phone. If I left home and I forgot my cell phone, I'll drive all the way back. But I forgot my miswak. That's serious. What do you say? That's serious. It's okay. But the cell phone, I'll go back. I know the value of it. If I went out for a great akabir, if I'm not mistaken, Mufti Zainul Abideen Sahib, Omana Jamshed Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhim, one of the great seniors of our effort of da'wah and tabligh, he mentioned about him, qualified as an alim already. And there was a Mewati Jamaat, simpletons, Mewati, they hardly knew about deen. So go in the path of Allah, read the kitab, they would learn from there. So he went to make wuzu, and this Mewati sat down to make wuzu also. So this great senior alim at that time, he wasn't really in the effort of da'wat as yet. So as he sat down, qualified as an alim already, doing the effort of whatever effort he was doing in his masjid, imamat, etc. So that Mewati sat down to make wuzu, he shrieked out, like some janazah, somebody died. Say, bhai, kya, what happened? Say, I can't find my miswak. Inna lillahi. Say, oh, I thought something happened, it was some bad news. He said, I can't find my miswak. See, the way he hit his heart, ya Allah. I never regarded the miswak to be such a valuable sunnat. That hit his heart already. He says, ya Allah, there's something, the effort of iman. That this simple man like this doesn't know ahadith and Quran, but he knows the value of a miswak. That he felt the pain in his heart because he didn't carry his miswak or he lost it. He lost it. So there's a complete value system that's attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will attach there, Allah will lift us up also. A'azan Allah bil Islam. Umar ibn Sayyid radiyallahu anhu, Allah ta'ala has given us honor because of Islam. Islam, iman is attached to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But Hazrat says now that we are looking for izzat and honor and everything besides Islam. Everything besides Islam. The person may see what's my degree on the wall, that's my value. Remember, we're not saying don't do it. But Allah hasn't kept our status in those degrees. The highest degree is that of iman, Islam and sunnat. Being an ummati of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But myself, you know, we have a certain degree or a certain car, already we feel some loftiness. That I've got something. But there's dunya. And Allah, and ulama say, after Allah created dunya, Allah never looked at dunya again with one nazar and one glance of love for it. Never looked back at it. Ad-dunya mal'oonun. Hadith Sharif says, the entire dunya is a curse. It's a curse. Mal'oonun mafiya. Everything dunya is a curse. Except the alim and the muta'allim. The alim, the one that is seeking, the one that is learning and teaching, they are excluded from the curse of this dunya of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all those things attached to the dhikr of Allah are excluded. Everything else is a curse. So now we can see where we are looking for honor. And those things that are under the curse of Allah. Whether we are fighting for some money or some property or some whatever it may be in the family. What are we fighting for? Things that Allah Ta'ala hasn't attached His rahmat and mercy to it. We should be fighting for our deen, fighting for our salah, fighting for the sunnats, for these things to come into our lives. This should be it. There is no parda in my home. That should be the cry of my heart. But there is no value attached to it. There's no. We want to break the command of Allah and find sukoon. You break the command of Allah, you know more attached to Al-Ali, Allah who's most lofty, we are going to drop down. We are going to fall down. There is no respect. What happened to us? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a complete value system which we have to understand and attach ourselves to the sunnahs and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All others are inferior to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that being who due to His power is exalted and elevated over His creation. He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is far above His creation, free from any similarity. Everything is under His subjugation. And this is a system of Allah also. Who will attach Himself to that being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the most exalted, Allah will also lift him up also. Allah will give him respect also. The person who will find, who will look for respect in the deen of Allah, Allah will raise him. Look for respect in dunya, people will hate you. We know that. Pull out a nice new car, somebody will say, how you bought it, overnight, where he got it from? It is somebody, they'll make some story. Nobody's happy in dunya for you, nobody's happy. Your own brother will be happy for you also. Where he made it from, how he got it, and some story will come out. So dunya is like that. Everybody's fighting for it, everyone's fighting for it. One person was looking for sukoon, it's an anecdote, was looking for sukoon and a peace of mind. Went around everywhere, can't find it anywhere. Finally, he came to the Qabristan, he found an empty Qabr, he says, very cool and calm here. Better I take a rest over here. Nobody will trouble me over here. Not even the wife will come here too. So he went and he lay down in there. He lay down in there and he fell asleep. Then he felt somebody waking him up.
It's an anecdote, just for us to understand the reality of dunya. So the person tells him, come with me, but don't ask any questions. Promise, I promise. So he took him. Took him in the unseen world, so to say. When he comes in there, he sees a date palm tree, khajur tree. And on the top, he sees a person now, big, very large sized person, big sized person, not very handsome in his appearance, and plucking all the khajur and all the dates. Whether it was ripe, unripe. But what, he was just plucking it. So he got a bit agitated. That he should be plucking the ripe ones only. So he asked the person who took him, why is he plucking the unripe ones? I told you, don't ask anything. Landed back into the qabr. Fell asleep. Then again this person came and woke him up. He said, come with me, but don't ask anything. He went again with him. Then he sees now a whole line of taps. And each tap now was open to a certain extent. So some was full blast, it was flowing full speed, some was half, some was just trickling. There was a man now that was standing by one of the taps with a glass, filling his glass, but just one drop at a time. So he's thinking to himself, the tap is open, why doesn't he go there? So he asked the person, he said, I told you, don't ask anything. He took him back again. Lai sukun is gone. Third time he took him, he said, don't ask anything now. When he went there, then he finds that there was a large rock boulder that was stuck in a ditch. And a whole group of people came to remove it. But they all came from different sides. And they were all pushing it, this way, that way. He thought to himself, they had a little bit of intelligence, they would come to one side, all of them. Not from all different sides. And push it out. Then he asked the person, he said, I want you, don't ask anything. Now you go back. So before he could leave, he said, please tell me, what's happening there? These are lessons for you of life. You say, what's the reality? The first person I saw, big sized person, large in stature, not very good looking, dark in complexion, very frightening, just plucking all the khajur, all the dates, ripe, unripe. See, it was Malakul Maut. Doesn't see how old you are, how young you are. He's going to pluck you. When your time is right, he's going to take you. Whether he be your child, your grandchild, Allah keep with afiyat, he's going to take you. He wants to leave you, he'll leave you by the command of Allah. After 90, a person becomes a prisoner of Allah in this world. A person feels like a prisoner now. Command of Allah, you have to stay here. See, the second scenario, see, all those steps that you saw over there, all those steps of sustenance and rosy, that man's step was already stipulated. He can't go take somebody else's. That was somebody else's rosy there. He was one drop. There's this time for him, he can't move from there. So you can't take somebody else's. And how you take it with izzat and respect. And the third scenario is the third scenario that rock depicted dunya. Everybody wants it. All will push it their way. But nobody will get it. Nobody will get it. And nobody will come on one side and say, we all make it together. It doesn't happen. It's all nafsi, nafsi. So Nabi Ali Salatu Salam came with a call of ummati, ummati. Dunya is accursed. Don't give your heart to it. Your heart will break. Dunya, we all want to pull it our way. You want to increase the rosy over there and come back to the first scene, you don't want to die. When this is system of dunya, you will have to leave. So everything is under the subjugation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ulama explained, become the true slave of Allah, subjugate yourself to Allah, Allah will make dunya subjugated to you. You run for your salah, the dunya will run behind you. Many incidents we heard. Recently somebody mentioned to me also that they had a shop in a certain town in our country, and some years ago the president came with the entire entourage to come buy some goods. So two brothers in the shop, it was Zohar Salah time, came with a whole group of them. We heard you have some good stuff in your shop, etc. Some brother says, we'll serve you. Other brother says, namaz time you're going. Namaz time you're going. You've got Mr. President in your shop. He said, no, namaz time you're going. They told him, excuse us, we're going to pray now. He said, no, but you all go, we'll wait for you. You go, we'll wait for you. They went for salah, they came back, they're still waiting. Who made them wait? They came, Mr. President. He's under the subjugation of Allah. You ran for Allah, Allah says, I'll make him wait there. He won't move from there. Your rose is stipulated, I will make him wait for you. No matter who he can be. He can buy off your shop also. He can buy off your shop also, but Allah will make him wait there. Why? Because you're the slave of Allah. With the slave of Allah, you keep the dunya, I don't work for you, dunya you work for me. That is why we tell our sathis also, whether I'm starting a new business or a second or a third, And most of us will say, I'm doing it now so I can get free for deen. But we know we don't get any more free. We get more tied up. I'll just do this and I'm free. I can do my Quran. I can do this. I can do that. It doesn't happen. What do we say? It doesn't happen. We have to make it happen. We have to make it happen. Then Allah will open out the avenues of barakat. Allah will give us understanding, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We're discussing the ilajul ghadab, the cure, the remedy, the treatment for anger. So how to control the anger, how to get it under control, subjugate the anger. To understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Ali. Allah is above me. Allah is above me. I don't own anyone. I'm also a slave of Allah. Those around me also are the equal slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can't treat anybody as I wish to, as I want to. So how to get this anger under control? So the last riwayat and narration we had discussed was about Abu Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he said, I was hitting my slave and behind me I heard a voice calling out, I'lam Aba Mas'ud, Allahu aqdaru alayka minka alay. Allah has more power over you than the power you have over your slave. Be careful. Don't abuse your power and authority. So he thought to himself, I wonder who is it? فَالْتَفَتُّ. He said, I turned around to observe where this voice was coming from, only to find it was the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Heard the voice and the anger disappeared. The anger disappeared. That was the ilat of Sahaba Ikram. We were just here. Many of our kabir also. One person we know of also did hajj with Hazrat Rahmatullah Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Did hajj. And the person narrated to me also. He said, we were in the same bus with Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali, Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah. Great wali of Allah. Very naram, very, very soft, very compassionate also. So he says, we came from Arafat, we were going to Mina. And the bus driver stopped in between halfway. Now I got Hazrat in the bus with me. I wanted to take us all the way. Then I went to the front and I jacked up the driver. Shouted at him, how can you stop here? Hey, he's not even bothered about me. He said, I am fighting with him. And before I know it, I see Hazrat Ji is already walking in front of the bus, he's gone. Then after Hajj, he says, I met Hazrat Wala. And he said to me, it seems you got a lot of anger in you. This is the suhbat of the friends of Allah. Just staying in the company. Prior to that, he stayed a few months. Hazrat Ji, in Makkatul Mukarrama. Hazrat Ji told him, I'll give you wazifa for anger. Because the muhabbat and love was there for, Mala Masihullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, I'll give you wazifa for anger. Hazrat, please do. Whenever you get angry, just say Masihullah. Just take my name only. Just take my name, and you see your anger will go away. Say, Alhamdulillah, what a difference made to his life. Whenever he would take the name of Hazrat Wala, that picture will come in his mind, and you forget about his anger. That is muhabbat and love. He taught him now to fall in love with the friends of Allah, and then connected him to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This was the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whereby the hearts of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum sprang to life. They had that voice, and their hearts became alive. Whereby the spiritual ailments were cured. Just by the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the blessings of companionship, sohbat, with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately gave the tawfiq to act upon the directive hinted at. Just hinted at it. He didn't say, don't get angry. Allah has more power over you. He understood it. The love was there for Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. That voice was enough now to cool his anger. By virtue of the Ahlullah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their company, an immensity of courage and power is infused within the person. When he said to the friends of Allah, then a person gets that courage and he gets that power now to subjugate his nafs, suppress it. Those sins which one was unable to give up for years or rather decades on end are given up after a few days spent in the company of the friends of Allah. Put it to test. Stay with them for a while and see for yourselves what happens to you. Hazrat Shahabdul Ghani Pulpuri rahmatullah alayhi was asked, and this was related to me by Dr. Abdul Hay rahmatullah alayhi, who said to me, I'm relating something to you about your Shaykh. So this we read last week. Then Hazrat explained that entire incident. Was it this one? So Hazrat was speaking about the sohbat and staying in the company of this alim who was very, very calm and cool. Just staying in his company, the person's anger went away. Thereafter, Hazrat says now, That truly is an act, it is an act of intelligence. Blessed is that servant, indeed, very blessed is that servant who attaches himself to the friends of Allah, who establishes friendship with the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows them to be the friends of His friends. That the friends of Allah are the friends of Allah. How they became the friends? Because they stayed in the company of the friends of Allah. So they are the friends of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes His mercy and bounties to descend upon them as well. They sat in the company of their mashayikh, of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they became the friends of Allah. What they mashayikh enjoyed, they will also enjoy it. Hazrat explains this also. That He thus causes His mercy and bounties to descend upon them as well, and eventually makes them His also. Makes those that sat in the company of the friends of Allah, Allah makes them His friends also. By virtue of the friends of, by the company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the destiny of a person changes. This we understand in dunya also. You have a contact. Now a friend comes to you, introduce him to this contact of you, they become friends also now. He also makes him his friend. As it explains this, the Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said, "Humul julasa ala ishqa jalisuhum." That those who sit in the company of the accepted servants of Allah can never remain unfortunate. Just sitting with them, whatever mercies of Allah come upon them, you will also enjoy it. Automatically it will happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala converts their wretchedness, their misfortune, into prosperity and fortune. It is in a portion of a lengthy hadith, it is mentioned that an insincere person comes into the gathering of the friend of Allah. Insincere meaning, now he didn't come with the sole intention to sit in the program. That was not his sole intention. But he came and he sat down. His object was not the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but due to other work which causes him to attend such a majlis. He just came in, had to meet somebody. The person said, "I'll be here tonight, so just come away." He'll come now, maybe towards the end. Can you pick up a parcel or just come to meet him, whatever it is. So he came. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the angels, this happens during the majlis and the gathering. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the angels what his servants are doing, though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all aware, the reason for asking the malaika, what are they doing? Allah knows what we are doing right now. But why does Allah ask the malaika, what are my servants doing? Allah ta'ala asked him to express his pride and pleasure. You know what your son is doing? He's doing something good, so you ask the wife, you saw what he's doing. You know what he's doing. You checked. Oh, he's doing Quran Sharif. Now you know what he's doing, but you ask. You saw what he's doing. So he's in tahajjud namaz, subhanAllah. So Allah ta'ala knows that the malaika, when Allah ta'ala made insan, then the malaika objected. Ya Allah, you're making this insan? He's going to cause fitna, mischief, bloodshed. So why are you creating him? So they objected against the creation of this human being. Allah ta'ala says that I know of them what you don't know. When they will come unto iman and taqwa, they will even excel the malaika also. Malaika don't have within them that material to disobey Allah. But insan has it. And malaika, you will see how you will excel. And you will go further than the malaika also. Allah ta'ala asked them to show them the points, so to say. See what they're doing. What my bandas are doing. We have objected against them. So Allah ta'ala asked them now to express his pride and his pleasure. Mentioned in the last part of this hadith is the following. O angels, bear witness. After they reply to Allah, Allah, they are sitting, they are making the dhikr of Allah. They are sitting in the halqa of dhikr. So Allah ta'ala says at the end, O angels, O malaika, bear witness to the fact that I have forgiven all of them. Even the one that just came by the way. He didn't come for the program. He just came by the way. The angels then tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there was a certain person in that gathering who was there for some ulterior motive. He didn't come to sit for the bayan. He came to pick up a parcel or drop a parcel or whatever it was. Oh, his car was stuck and I couldn't disturb people. So he sat in the car half an hour, thinking how much longer they were. Let me just go sit in the program. So the angels intend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there was a certain person in that gathering who was there for some ulterior motive and not for the dhikr of Allah. إِنَّمَا جَاءَ لِحَاجَةٍ. That he was proceeding for some necessity of his and observed that a gathering of the awliya was taking place with the result that he just happens to join them. Even and sat there also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies, I have forgiven even that servant. He didn't come with the intention. But I have forgiven that servant because I do not deprive even those who happen to sit in the gatherings of my accepted servants. Those that sit with my friends also enjoy my rahmat. Because he came and he sat in the right gathering. You know, sometimes you invite somebody, you invited him. I came with the driver. Or somebody came to drop him off in the masjid. He said, well, come join us also. He didn't come. He just came to drop up the guest. But now you saw him there. Say, no, you also come join us. There's food enough for everyone. Now, you prepare that now for your guest. And how his taqdeer was written. His naseeb was written. They also enjoyed a full meal. Never thought he'll eat over here. But this is how insan, we deal with one another. We can imagine now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was arhamur rahimin. هم الجلساء الأشقى جليسهم. A friend takes care of his friend's friend. Hazrat says, a friend takes care of his friend's friend. Understanding the tartib, eh? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah waliyu alladhina amanu. Allah is the friend of the iman, people of iman. Allah is the الرفيق الأعلى, the highest friend, the most superior, ultimate. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person becomes the friend of Allah. Allah is the friend of this person, so to say. So they say a friend takes care of his friend's friend. Because you've made friendship now with the friend of Allah, and Allah is your friend also, Allah says, I'll take care of you and your friends also. In the commentary of this hadith, Ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala says, إِنَّ جَلِيسَهُمْ يَنْدَرِجُ مَعَهُمْ فِي جَمِيعِ مَا يَتَفَضَّلُ اللَّهُ بِهِ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lists those who sit with the Ahlullah, with the friends of Allah, as the friends of Allah. Those that sit with the friends of Allah, Allah ta'ala puts their name in the same list of the friends of Allah because they're sitting there with the friends of Allah. Granting them all the bounties he grants to the friends of Allah. So what happens? The person came by the way. So the friends of Allah are sitting. He just came and sat over there. Allah says, they're also part of this Jamaat. So whatever my friends are enjoying, they must also get the same thing. What is the reason for this? The maf'ul lahu, or the causative noun, which appears in the hadith thereafter, is ikraman lahum. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those that sit with them will never be unfortunate. And those that sit with them also will enjoy whatever the friends of Allah are enjoying. Ikraman lahum means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does this out of defense, out of kindness to his friends. That you are my friend sitting together making the dhikr of Allah, sitting in the majlis. Some other friends came now to visit you. So Allah says, out of your ikram, out of being kind to you, I will also host your friends. I'll also host your friends because they are sitting with you. This can well be understood from the fact that the people of, as I give an example now, when they were in Pakistan, and the people from Dera Ghazi Khan, which is the place of Pakistan, are preparing sumptuous dishes for Hazrat Hardoi Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Hardoi was the Sheikh of Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah, his last Sheikh. So Hazrat Hardoi was going to Dera Ghazi Khan. So they were waiting for him there. And they had all the meals prepared also. So Hazrat is saying now that they are preparing dishes for Hazrat Wala Hardoi Rahmatullah Ali, which we, the servants of Hazrat Wala, we are the servants of Hazrat. They are preparing the meal for Hazrat, he's coming. We are his servants, we are going with him. Hazrat explains. So which we, the servants of Hazrat, also partake of. Whose barakat it is? Kiska naam was kiska kaam. Whose name it was? And who did the job? Who polished? How much Hazrat is going to eat? So when the host says, Hazrat, you're coming, how many with you? 20, 30, subhanallah. But therefore just now going with the Shaykh, mashallah, it was actually ikraman lahu. Out of honor for the Shaykh, out of honor for the friend of Allah, the host now hosted everybody. Allah says, I'm even more kind than them. You could sit with them, and I'll host you also. When this is the case of material bounties, what can be said of the spiritual, what will be enjoyed in Jannat? When the prize offered for keeping company with the friends of Allah is so immense, that thereby misfortune and richness is transformed into prosperity and good fortune, and the heart is imbued with courage and inclination to enact good, what can be said about the effects of sohbat and companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one upon whom the gaze of glance of Nubuwwat fell,
is honored with being a Sahabi. Even the greatness, even the greatest of awliya cannot approach the level of the least of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So the point Hazrat makes over here, that to get the love of Allah, to be hosted by Allah, to get barakat from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, this is the value system. This is the value is. A person now can be sitting at home or sitting in his business, I couldn't make it in time for the program. Remember now, when you say the friends of Allah, Hazrat says also, that you might think, hey, the Shaykh, all are friends of Allah. Allah is a friend of every believer. Who or what level each person is, we all come with our own taqwa and nur of iman. Put all together, we all become the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala give us understanding and tawfiq and accept us, inshaAllah. One very, very important point based upon this, my dear brothers, which is very important for us and our families. These points we don't forget to share with our families and give them a chance also to go to those gatherings. They're not getting a chance at all. Spiritually, they're absolutely deprived. There's a doubt in our homes right now when it comes to the ruhani spirituality of our wives. Alhamdulillah, we are coming for programs. Then we go some tafsir program. Then some fiqh program. Then the Jumu'ah program. Some guests will come. The ladies are getting nothing. Simple things too, they don't even understand. So we have to make some intizam, some plan for them also. For them to sit in that company to become the friend of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Hazrat always explains, and he mentioned this many a time, there's no vacuum in a person's life. If she does not become the friend of Allah, then whose friend she'll become? Shaitan is waiting to make her his friend. Then he'll take her out of the house. Then she'll make other type of friends that will give her the wrong advice. Then you're going to be at loggerheads with her. But whose fault is it? The Imam Sahib of the house. So the Imam Sahib now has to make sure that the Muqtadi are standing in the straight line. That everything is above board. So we also within our home, some fikr we have to make for our masturat. Whether we get somebody coming home to teach them. Or whether once a week, half an hour, that we send them out. We make some plan. Take off time from work. Remember, we all are saying, I'm doing this to free myself for deen. But we're not getting free. We're getting more involved. We're getting more involved. Everything, I'll just open one more branch and that will free me. We know we're not getting free. We're getting more involved. So we have to take out the time. We have to sacrifice that half an hour. We have to sacrifice that half an hour, go pick up the families, go and drop them off at the programs, arrange with them the Quran classes, check the Quran tilawat. Is the Quran correct? Qiyamah's day, our mashayikh say, Qiyamah's day, you can be going to Jannah, but the wife will catch your hand. I'm not going to Jahannam alone. You were the cause of it. You gave me dunya, you didn't give me deen. You didn't encourage me, you didn't make a plan for me. We make a plan for everything for them. Whatever it be. Come weekend, Friday, kitchen is closed. We're hosting, we're doing everything. Whatever they want. Alhamdulillah. Allah give even more. But for their deen, we're not doing anything. We have to do something. Allah Ta'ala has given the means, there are many apas around, alhamdulillah. Somebody in our locality, tell the apa, once a week, twice a week, come to the home. I got 3-4 daughters, neighbors, get them together, have some sabak with them, teach the Quran, tilawat. At least the basics for us. The Yaseen, Suratul Kahf, Waqi'ah, Tabarak. The last 10 surahs, or last, or the 4 surahs, for them to learn in with tajweed. The fikr has to be made for them. How many a woman to ask her, are you paying your zakat? I don't know about it. My husband just sorts it out. She doesn't know about her zakat also. Tomorrow the husband is gone, what she's going to do? She doesn't even know how to pay her zakat. Whether he's paying it correctly. Many of the musturat, we ask him also, your zakat, every Ramadan. Why Ramadan? How come zakat is in Ramadan? She said, my husband pays it like that. But when you had your first nisab, many of them already had the nisab of zakat before they became baligh. They already had some jewelry. Mothers bought cap for them. So as soon as they became baligh, they already had the nisab by them. So already their nisab was in that month when they became baligh. Not Ramadan. They bring every year Ramadan, they're shortchanging Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. They're thinking, what's happening with the children? Why they're not behaving? Why this is not happening right? That's not happening right. Because all this entire value system of deen, we're not giving it the due respect and the due attention to it. But we tying up all our budgets everywhere else. This budget, that budget, the house budget and everything else. But this is shortchanged. But this will dominate our physical
life in this world, existence, or spiritual life. So all these things we've got to check it up. Educate our women folk. This our mashayikh say, one pious woman is more superior to Allah than 70 awliya. One wife, one woman that is pious, is more virtuous than 70 awliya. What she can do, what she can move in the family. You can talk about parada, but if she comes into her parada, she brought the lady separate. You all sit over there in the kitchen, finished. You can say it won't happen. But she says it, she'll separate it. She brings deen in the house. Then you see the barakat in the house thereafter. Then you see the values that will come into the children after that, because she's got deen in her life. So this, we have to make some fikr for this, my dear brothers. We might think, now, Ya Allah, wait, how is it going to happen? How is it going to happen? But as we mentioned, when ishtimaas take place, fikr takes place, you see, brothers, how many jamaats are you going to send for 4 months? People give some ajib figures. My masjid, four months jamaats. But how are you going to do it? Allah will do it. But when the hearts are put together, we make mashwara, Allah system. When the believers get together and they put their hearts together and the objective is the same and dua is behind it, what is non-existent, Allah brings into existence. There's a system of Allah. You might think, now, Mufti Sahib is saying this, but how are we going to do this thing? How I'm going traveling out every day, the wife is there, she doesn't drive, or she drives, who's going to teach her? If I just tell her to say, no, I'm not going. So I won't even bring up the topic at home. No. Make the mashwara in the house. Sit down, let's think, let's put our hearts together. Allah Ta'ala will make something happen. Just on us sitting together and making some fikr, 1-2 phone calls, trying. You see how the avenues will open up. Avenues will open up. For dunya, where there was a block, how we opened up things. Where we thought they won't happen, somehow one contact, second contact, third contact, and things started opening up. We know how, what effort we make. That door closed, said no chance, another door opened. Because we put our mind to it. Our deen, we're not putting our hearts and our mind to it. So we have to. We have to make some plan for our families also. Seeing where we're sending our children to school, whether they're learning their deen also. And ourselves, our own Quran tilawat. Whether my Quran tilawat is correct also. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم فاذكروني أذكركم أنا جليس من ذكرني لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 لا إله إلا الله
محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. الله جل جلاله تعالى شأنه. الله 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 جل جلاله. الله 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 جل جلاله.
Just one more point in regards to our mustarat and really the two. You mentioned about one is the zakat, whether they know the zakat, they're paying correctly. Together with them, when it comes to the salah, the past namazes, we married so many years, whether you made fikr, either cover up the past namazes. And also something very, very important, even the fasting in the month of Ramadan, we know they have the days in Ramadan. So they can't keep those days. So we as the husband also to have fikr. You should be asking them, how many roza do you have? We are the imam of the house. If you ask the lady, sometimes it goes to hundreds, so many years now, that 10 days, 10 days, 10 days, they haven't got tawfiq to cover up those fasts, the rozas. So we, the imams, what you should be telling them, I'll keep with you. I will keep with you. Let's keep Monday and Thursday, let's start. Now it's very, very short days. Alright? Sari ends about 5:15. Already 5 o'clock, you're making iftari. So we should be sitting and making mashwara. How many roza you have to keep? Come, I'll start with you. Let's keep Monday and Thursday. Then we can increase it. Monday, Thursday, Friday. Tell her Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The chow is on me. Don't worry. I'll sort it out. Monday and Thursday we keep roza together. If we don't initiate it, we don't see them keeping the roza also. We don't have fikr. There's no food in the house. We make a big noise. She's got so many qaza roza. Sometimes the zakah. Sometimes the fasting also. So we're going to make this fikr in our homes, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa al-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu, wa laka shukru kullu, la nuhsi thanan alayka, anta kama athnita ala nafsik. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. يا أكرم الأكرمين، يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أرحم الراحمين، يا علي يا شكور يا حليم، يا ذا من فضل وجود وكرم إله العالمين وكريم رحيم الله. يا الله give us your الله the تعلق النسبة وديهم يا الله، يا محبد يا لب وكريم رحيم الله. Make us yours and become ours هم يا الله. Purify and cleanse us هم يا الله. Ya Allah, remove all our bad habits, O my Allah. Ya Allah, all the masjid and the sins in our lives, O my Allah. O my Allah, free us, O my Allah. Give us a sinless life, O my Allah. Ya Allah, give us, Ya Allah, your obedience in our lives, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make your obedience easy for us, make it beloved to us, make it enjoyable. Ya Allah, make it hard for us to break your commands, O my Allah, to think about sinning, O my Allah. Ya Allah, make it difficult for us, O my Allah. Protect us, Ya Allah. Become a veil between us and our hearts, O my Allah. O my Kareem, Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, keep us upon hidayat. Ya Allah, our children, our families, our progenies, O my Allah. O Kareem, Rahim Allah, bring complete deen in our homes, in our lives, O my Allah. And every facet, every avenue of our lives. Ya Allah, bring your commands, the beautiful sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Allah, save us from ghaflat and negligence, and we become unmindful of the akhirat, O my Allah, that we're only living for dunya and for dunya and for the future, to secure our families and our future and our lives and our children and grandchildren. Ya Allah, give us, Ya Allah, the fikr for akhirat, O my Allah. Ya, the goal is jannat, O my Allah. The goal is your pleasure, O my Allah. And Ya Allah, we're here temporary, Ya Allah. We have to come back to you. Give us the reality. Give us the understanding. Give us the tawfiq to make that effort every day, O my Allah. Not to forget about how busy we become in dunya, O my Kareem, Rahim Allah. Give us that nisbat to you, O my Allah. Save us from this ghaflat, O my Allah. Give us consciousness of your commands, O my Allah. Consciousness of taqwa, of the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Consciousness of akhirat every moment. Consciousness of mawt, of the qabr, O Kareem, Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, give us the reality of deen, O my Allah. Give us the reality of dunya, O Kareem, Rahim Allah. Save us from deception of this worldly life. Give us the reality of akhirat, O Kareem, Rahim Allah. Keep us in your bounties, Ya Allah, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. O Kareem, Rahim Allah, make us amongst, Ya Allah, your servants who thank you, O Kareem, Rahim Allah, amongst your grateful servants, O my Kareem, Rahim Allah. O most beloved Kareem, Rahim Allah, Ya Allah, keep us upon hidayat, Ya Allah. Save us from dalalat and Ya Allah, to go astray, O Kareem, Rahim Allah. O my Kareem, Rahim Allah, all those that are sick and ailing, grant them shifa'i, ajil, kamil, mustamir. All those in debts, Ya Allah, remove their debts, O my Allah. All those in interest-bearing transactions, O my Allah. O my Allah, remove them, Ya Allah, from the banks and insurances and all different types of policies. Grant us plenty of barakah, plenty of happiness in your commands, in your deen, O my Allah. Ya Allah, bring all your commands into our lives, into our homes, O my Allah. And to our families, O Kareem, Rahim Allah, make it easy for us to implement all your commands within our homes, giving them the understanding, give us the tawfiq and the ability. Grant us plenty of barakah, O my Allah. Save us from israf, Ya Allah, from wastage, O my Allah, from abusing, Ya Allah, abusing your bounties that you blessed us with, O my Allah. Just use it in a way that is pleasing to you, O Kareem, Rahim Allah. O my Kareem, Rahim Allah, accept the labik of the hujjaj, O my Allah. Make the hajj easy for them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us a share, the du'as, O my Kareem, Rahim Allah. Accept the hazir in Medina Tayyiba, O my Kareem, Rahim Allah. Accept the salat in salam. Accept the du'as, O my Allah. Accept the salah in the rodha, O my Allah. Give them place, O Kareem, Rahim Allah. Ya Allah, give us all place in Baqi, O Kareem, Rahim Allah. To your fazl and your karam without istihqaq, O my Kareem, Rahim Allah. O my Allah, make the Safa Marwa easy for them. Make the Tawaf easy for them, O my Allah. Ya Allah, make the Safar easy for them, O my Allah. Make the days of Hajj easy for them. Accept, Ya Allah, the Hajj. Ya Allah, open the door for the entire Ummah, Ya Allah, take us all over and over again. Ya Allah, give us place in Arafat, O my Allah. Give us place in the Mataf, O my Allah. Give us place, Ya Allah, in your court, O Kareem, Rahim Allah. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدنا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك استغفر الله